Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We want everyone to go to heaven. So we're crying out for the eternal salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying for their past, present, and future spouses. We're praying for all the children they have now and the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. By faith, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus, we ask you to reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding, Father, that by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And yes, Father, they would humble themselves before you. They would repent of their sins. They would receive you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And Father, you'll get every person into a good Bible-believing teaching church that would then be baptized in water. Every person will receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian will be discipled and be strong in the Lord. We're praying for every demon-possessed, demonizing, captive person to be set free and all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And Father, we're praying that your people would receive and walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And Father, we're agreeing right now, and we believe we receive it. And we say thank you. But also, Father, we love the Jewish people so much. We have such a great debt of gratitude to them. We're praying, Father, that you would remove the scales and blinders off their hearts and minds. They would truly see that Jesus Christ is their Messiah, Savior, and Lord, and they would be born again from above. Father, we agree with your word as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We agree with you, Father, they have an eternal covenant to all the land of Canaan. So, Father, not only do they retain the land they have now, but they get 36 times the amount of land. We agree they're receiving it. And, Father God, we declare and decree null and void any attempt to bring forth a two-state solution. That's from the pit of hell. Father, you have given it to the Jewish people, and we know any person or nation that tries to do differently comes under the curse. And Father, we're not under the curse, and we bless the Jewish people, and we agree with the word of God. And so we receive that blessing also. But also, Father God, there are just so many wicked things you've shown us going on in America that we need to pray against. So Father, we're also uniting our hearts together, praying against these wicked evil things. Father, we come against the digital currency through the power and authority of your name and blood. This wicked agenda of Lucifer, the WF, Joe Biden, the Fed, we send those plans into confusion and derision. We agree they're fighting among themselves. They're finding absolutely no agreement whatsoever. And we decree there will be no digital currency until after the rapture of the church. And we'll be able to spend our dollar bills and cash until that time. And we thank you for it. Also, Father God, we come against all the terror attacks against America. Father, even the FBI is telling us there's a grave danger. Well, Father God, we already knew because we hear the prophetic voices. So, Father, we ask you to expose, shut down, and remove out of this country every terrorist, prisoner, ever foreign soldier, ever pedophile, ever drug cartel person, sex trafficker, ever person who has come across the borders to do evil. Father, you will expose them and you will drive them out, whether it be through law enforcement or your angelic host, and they would never be able to return, and you would not allow them, Father, to do their wicked evil deeds, and there would be no terror attacks in America. We cry out against it right now. Also, Father, Father, we cry against any attack against our water tables, our wells, our city waters, Father God. We agree that if anyone tries to poison our water or water systems or to hack them, you'll stop them. If necessary, Father, you'll kill them. And we thank you for that also in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we come against all attacks against our electricity, gas, oil, our coal. We agree that fossil fuels are a blessing of the Lord. We agree that in 2024, the Keystone Pipeline will be reinstituted. There'll be more oil wells. There'll be more coal mines. There'll be more, Father, of using the fossil fuels that you have blessed us with, which you expect us to use. And we thank you for that right now. And anyone that tries to attack or take them out, Father, remove them from their place of authority and allow them not to do any destruction. Also, please protect our food production plants, Father. Don't let anybody take any more, burn them down. Protect our farms. Take away all farmland from foreign countries and give them to godly, born-again, spirit-filled men and women to grow crops for the glory of God, to feed all of America, and then we'll even have enough to give others around the world. And we decree that right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we come against and we ask that you would destroy any plans of the wicked, evil people in this nation to put any mRNA material into our food, water, plants, and animals. Father, they're trying to do that. Lord, they're Luciferians, are going to burn in hell, but Father, don't let them harm the church, the body of Christ, Father. And we cry out for those who are not yet saved, Father. We don't want to see them destroyed either. So stop these wicked agendas, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Okay, well, I do want to give you really one update before we get into the message, and this was very recent from Epoch News. There was a letter issued to the governors, March 19th, the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, and EPA Administrator Michael Reagan said that hackers are striking water and wastewater systems throughout the country. Did you hear that? Okay. This is from the government. Okay. So you understand, you know, God has shown the prophets that there are storms coming. If you have any sense at all, you know the storms are coming. God showed my wife and others there would be no reprieve. Even in 2024, if Donald Trump gets elected, and may it be so, still the judgments of God are coming upon America. We've allowed 10 million possible terrorists to come into our country. They are waiting from orders from their command to start killing Americans and bringing great chaos. The one world government loves this. Remember, their plan in the 2030 agenda is you will own nothing and be happy, which means they're going to take everything away from you. Their number two agenda is the United States will no longer be a superpower. So all these people are coming across the border are not to help people. It is to destroy America, to bankrupt America, and let people come in and just kill Americans right and left, because they believe there's too many people on planet Earth. Instead of having 8 billion, they want 500 million. So they are giddy with delight, whether it be through plagues, viruses, you name it, to kill us. So I don't know why you would vote for people like that. But again, if you don't know the Lord, you have no discernment, and you know, get saved before it's too late, or you will be in the tribulation. The first thing that's going to happen is the rapture of the church. So if you're a born-again believer serving Jesus, hallelujah, it's coming very quick. But then begins a seven-year tribulation, the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, the seven bowl of wrath judgments, and you don't want to be here. The good news is still some people will get saved, but many won't, and they'll take the mark of the beast. In fact, I just saw a clip from AI. There's a new AI through Microsoft that I don't know if it's the program or whatever, it demands that you worship the AI. Did you hear that? Oh, that kind of sounds like the Antichrist. That kind of sounds like things of the mark of the beast. You're right. We're just about there. Do you understand that? We're just about there. Get ready to meet God. Amen? So if you're a Christian and you're not a Christian, get saved. But if you are, tighten your belts. Crazy things are about to happen, but good news, God also has spoken prophetically. Those who hear his voice and follow him, he can protect and watch over us until he raptures us out. So be encouraged. Don't get into fear. Remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So we have nothing to fear, but we need to be walking with Jesus, hearing his voice, and you better be in a Bible-believing teaching church that teaches the book of Revelation and lets you know what things are about to happen. So, very exciting days, but again, the storms are getting ready to break loose, and I guess through that thing I just read, it's already starting to happen. So, get ready. All right. So I believe an encouraging word, and definitely a word to the church. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul is writing to born-again believers, the saints. Remember, in Ephesians 1:1, we are saints now. We are holy ones. We have been set apart to God. That happens when you're born again. Oh, no, you'd be a holy one. You've got to do all these good works and things like that. Liar, liar, pants on fire. No, the only thing that can make you holy is the blood of Jesus. Do you understand that? Okay. And then having received his holiness, being regenerated by the Holy Spirit, having a new nature and being in Christ, yes, now you can do some good works by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, but not until then. Okay. Ephesians 6:10, here it is. Finally, my brethren means Christians. This is to Christians. This is not to lost people. You can't do what it's about to say, but you can get saved and then be a Christian, right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In 2024, you need to get strong. You need to get into your word. You need to have a prayer life. You need to be a witnesser. You need to be growing in the Lord and getting equipped for every good work. Amen? Okay. So, he's commanding Christians, be strong. There's no verse in the Bible that says be weak. Be strong. And as you receive the grace of God and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and walk in the Lordship of Jesus Christ over every area of your life, you will be strong. Okay. But part of being strong is placing an real but invisible armor that God has provided for the saints to fight this good fight of faith. And here it is, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. That must mean it's not automatic. You have to put it on. I recommend you put it on in the morning. I recommend you place fresh weaponry on you before you go to bed. Okay, that's just a suggestion. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, you say, why? Here it is. Talking to Christians. That you may be able to stand against the wiles, let's expand that, stratagems, trickery of the devil. Well, I'm saved. The devil can't touch me. That is the most stupid thing I've ever heard. Nowhere in the Bible does it say once you're saved, the devil can't touch you. Let's just use a couple of scriptures. James 4:7 to Christians. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, the very fact that he's fleeing from you mean he's trying to mess with you, right? And I think probably one of the strongest passages, good old Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he tells us to Christians, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the adversary of the Christians, the devil, that's right, like a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He already owns lost people who aren't saved, and many of them are very religious. But he's trying to devour Christians because we have the name of Jesus, because Jesus lives in us, because we're his ambassadors. He can't touch Jesus. He's at the right hand of God, so he's trying to devour us. Okay, to prove we're talking about Christians, read verse 9. Whom resist? Who? The devil. Who? Christians resist the devil. How do we do it? Steadfast in the faith. That means in the truths of God's word. And remember, the greatest lie is, oh, the Bible is nothing but allegories. That's a lie from hell. When the plain sense makes sense, the Bible is literally truth. Yes, there's a few allegories. For the most part, it's literal. Believe it, read it, believe it, and practice it. Do you got that? Okay. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, the truth of God's word, knowing that the same afflictions, catch this, are accomplished in your brethren, everyone else who's saved. So the devil just doesn't mess with you. You know, I used to think sometimes he just messes with me, leaves everybody else alone. No, well, I figured out, no, he messes with everybody who's a Christian. Now, he just pretty much runs roughshod over those who are lost because they're lost. They don't have the Spirit of God. They've not been born again. Jesus doesn't live in there, so he pretty much has his way with them. But he's trying to devour us. But again, we have an armor to put on, and we can resist him and enforce. This is a good word. Jesus already defeated him on the cross, but we are called to enforce that victory in this life. And it's not automatic. Have you figured that out? Okay. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Here's good news. But the God of all grace. Yes, we're under the covenant of grace. Who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered a while. Everybody goes through stuff. Okay. Make you perfect, establish, settle, strengthen you. Okay. So, the devil is trying to mess with Christians. He's already got lost people. He can't attack Jesus, but he wants to attack Christians. Well, good news. God says, I knew that. So I'm giving you an armor to put on so you can whip up on him when he's trying to whip up on you. That's a good deal. Aren't you glad God did that? Okay. And then here's a very powerful truth. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means people with bodies. But against principalities. That's Satan's fallen angels that fell with him, the demons and that hierarchy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, so that's a reality. Okay, in light of that battle being against the devil. Okay, wherefore take. So it's not automatic. You have to take it. Take unto you, the believer, the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day, are there different times in your life that the devil puts out assignments against you, and it can be pretty tough. Do you understand that? He's trying to take you out, trying to destroy you, trying to get you sidelined, okay, through temptations and all sorts of things. We'll talk about more about that in a minute, okay. Evil day comes to all Christians. Have to withstand the evil day, okay? And that's not just one day. That can be different periods of time and different times throughout your Christian life, okay? And having done all to stand, okay? So we're not going to run away. Remember James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The only one that needs to be running away is the devil, not you, okay? Here it is. Stand therefore. You're standing in Jesus' victory with his provision for you. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What do we know about truth? Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father God is the God of all truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Bible, Jesus said, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we need to study the Bible. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, walking with him. And again, walk in truth, know the truth, and walk it out. Remember John 8:30, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Maybe that's verse 32. Okay. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, recognize, and this is such a wonderful truth, how does anybody get righteous, which literally means having right standing with God? Well, the only way you can get righteous is not by being good, straightening up. That won't work. It's by putting your faith in Jesus. Remember Romans 3:22? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. When you, and if you haven't done yet, do it. Repentant of your sins. When under the direction of the Holy Spirit, you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior and Lord and gave your life to him, you were immediately washed in the blood of Jesus. your dead spirit man, remember your spirit, soul, and body, was regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You became a new creature in Christ. All your sins were washed away by Jesus' blood, and God declared you righteous on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross and you receiving him as your Savior. So Jesus' victory over Satan was imputed to you, and God the Father declared you righteous by putting your faith in Jesus because your sins were washed by the blood of Jesus and are no more. Thank you, Jesus. So when I put on the breastplate of righteousness, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're my righteousness and you have declared me righteous by my faith in you. But then also I'm supposed to go on in 1 John 2:29 and do and practice righteousness. Having received righteousness, now I can do righteous deeds. Okay? All right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What do we know about peace? Well, Jesus, Ephesians 2:14, he is our peace. Also, we're supposed to be peacemakers. We've been given the privilege to share the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Are you prepared? If you're born again, you have a testimony. But you also need to know the word of God that you can share Jesus with lost people. And you need to walk in peace. Remember Romans 14:17? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but here it is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say, he that serveth Christ. So we're serving Jesus, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're ready to share our faith, and we're walking in God's peace. Remember, Jesus is our peace. Above all, do not forget this, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay, so the Bible tells us that Satan is able to shoot invisible fiery darts, and if we don't have up the shield of faith, we can get wounded. We can get hurt. Do you understand that? Those fiery darts are often temptations put in your mind by the devil, words spoken by others against you, and those, remember, words are powerful. How about Proverbs 18:21? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of that. So remember, the words you speak are powerful. We could do a whole message on that. We could do about 10 messages on that. But anyway, you hold up the shield of faith. Lord, I'm placing up my faith, and grant me great spiritual discernment to be able to recognize those fiery darts of the wicked one. And, you know, I always like to say, Lord, and I plead the covering protection of the blood of Jesus, protecting me spirit, soul, and body. The blood of Jesus not just cleanses you from all sin, and that's everything, but it also protects you. So I hold up the shield of faith, and Father, grant me great spiritual discernment to be able to recognize and quench all those fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet, verse 17, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. What does the helmet protect? The head, the mind. Okay. Number one, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:14. By getting saved, you have the mind of Christ. You can think God's thoughts. Of course, studying the Bible and praying will help you in that. But again, you have salvation. You've been born again. Now, again, when I put on the helmet of salvation, I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. You're my salvation. I trust you and you alone. But also, I claim all the benefits of my salvation. I thank you, Lord, being in you. Thank you and receive my inheritance of the forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I claim my inheritance of total freedom in Jesus Christ from all demonic stronghold and bondages. And I break every attack and assignment of Satan against me through the power and authority of your name of blood. But I also claim in the salvation my inheritance of divine health and wholeness spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And I declare this absolute truth that Jesus Christ himself took all my infirmities, personal weakness, distresses. Lord Jesus, you bore all my sicknesses, pains, and diseases. Thank you. And by your stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, I was healed. And remember, healing, deliverance is the children's bread. And that's Matthew 15:21-28. And remember, even in the Old Testament, Psalm 103, the Bible says, God forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. And that was just under the Old Covenant. Remember, Hebrews 8:6, we have a better covenant with better promises. So I claim all my benefits of salvation and the mind of Christ. And I say this too, and I need to remind myself, Jesus, help me to bring every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Okay. But also from 1 Thessalonians 5:8, I place on myself the helmet of hope. Remember, faith is for the now, hope is for tomorrow. And I put on the helmet of hope and I declare, Lord, you're my hope. And hope is a confident, unwavering expectation of good based on the promises of God. And I not only have faith for today, but I have great hope for tomorrow. Okay. The second part, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember when the devil came against Jesus before he stepped into his ministry? Matthew 4, I think it's 1-8. The first temptation Satan brought to him, tempting to do something that was sinful, unrighteous, Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," which means Old and New Testament. So the sword of the Spirit, the offensive weapon you have when you're being tempted and bombarded by Satan and his kingdom, or people are telling you wrong things, you stand on the Word of God and tell that devil, "Get in Jesus' name," and then you quote the passage of Scripture that applies to the temptation or whatever the person is trying to do against you, and it works. That's the offensive weapon with the Word of God, which means you have to have the Word of God within you, and you have to speak it out loud. And then finally, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How do you put the whole armor of God? By prayer. I go through each piece of equipment, reminding myself what those pieces mean. And it's all in Jesus. But I'm recognizing who I am in Jesus and his provision he has made for me. And God says to put on this armor. So you're being obedient to God when you put on the whole armor of God. And understand, remember, the fiery darts of the wicked one, they come to all. And sometimes the fiery darts are physical sicknesses and diseases, which are attacks of Satan. Don't have time to get into that, and a lot of people don't understand it, but I know that I know, and of course millions of born-again, Spirit-filled Christians know too, that Satan tries to attack you with sickness and disease, and you come against that. You hold up the shield of faith. "No, devil, get out of here. Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses and pains. Get out of here. I'm not tolerating you in Jesus' name." And remember Mark 16, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And remember that before that it says, "In my name they shall cast out demons." So God has given us an armor. We can fight the good fight of faith. We can win in this life, but it's not automatic. You got to put on the armor. Now, if you're not saved, you can't put on the armor till you get saved. Jesus is coming soon. The tribulation is coming. Pray with me right now if you want to get saved. "Dear God, I see it. I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I understand it's only the blood of Jesus that can forgive my sins. Jesus, I'm coming to you right now. I repent of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and spirit and be my Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen." God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.